ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Psalm, Canto 7, Chapter 5, entitled Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu. Text number 5. Sri Prahlada Uvacha Tat Sri Prahlada Uvacha Tatsadyamande Surya Varya Dehinam Sada samudvignadiyamasad grahat Hitvatma patam griyamandakupam Vanangato yadharamashrayeta. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, Vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Responsibly, please. Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there's no water but only suffering. Purport was Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad, being nothing but a small boy with no actual experience, might reply with something pleasing, but nothing practical. Prahlad Maharaj, however, being an exalted devotee, had acquired all the qualities of education. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvar gunai statra samasate sura harav abhaktasya kuto mahadgana manoratenasati davato bihi. Quote, one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually sat, eternal, and what is asat, temporary. The Vedic injunction is asato ma jyotir gama. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Elsewhere it is said, apaschitamatmatatvam griheshu griha medinam. Those who are attached to the bodily concept of life and who thus stick to a life as a grihastha or householder on the platform of material enjoyment cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul. Prahlad Maharaj confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what his self-interest is, and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna, and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed spiritual success. Everyone in the material world is in the bodily conception, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeated birth and death, one should go to the forest, vana. In the Varnashram system, one first becomes a brahmachari, then a grihastha, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi. Going to the forest means accepting vanaprastha life, which is between grihastha life and sannyas. As confirmed in the Vishnu Purana 389, Varnashrama Charavata Purusena Parapuman Vishnur Arajate. By accepting the institution of Varna and Ashram, one can very easily elevate himself to the platform of worshipping Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, if one remains in the bodily conception, one must rot within this material world and his life will be a failure. Society must have divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. And for spiritual advancement, one must gradually develop as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Prahlad Maharaj recommended that his father accept vanaprastha life, because as a grihastha, he was becoming increasingly demoniac due to bodily attachment. Prahlad recommended to his father that accepting vanaprastha life would be better than going deeper and deeper into grihamandakupam, the blind well of life as a grihastha. In our Krishna conscious movement, we therefore invite all the elderly persons of the world to come to Vrindavan and stay there in retired life, making advancement in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So these are one of these slokas that are worth learning. This is also one of these slokas that can be taken extremely out of context. In the earlier days in ISKCON, when we were not as fortunate as all of you, because we did not have elders, except for Srila Prabhupada, all of us were between the ages of like 20 to 30, something like that. We didn't have so many wise people around to give us guidance. So there was a mood. There was a lot of saffron in the temples. Yes, there was. The temples were full of saffron. And if you were wearing white, you were fallen. And there was a attitude of contempt between the people wearing saffron and the people that were wearing white. The devotees wearing saffron were thinking, we're advanced. And they were thinking, the people wearing white, they're fallen. And this is one of the slokas that they would quote. Now, if you want to take this sloka in context, do you think Prahlad Maharaj spoke this sloka in a mood of contempt towards his father? In other words, do you think Prahlad Maharaj was being a smart aleck? Like his father came to him and said, of all what you have learned from your teachers, you know, what do you think, what is the best that you have learned? And with a sneer, he's saying, oh, best of the Asuras, king of the demons. As far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there's no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest. Do you think that Prahlad Maharaj was like that? If Prahlad Maharaj was speaking in this type of mood, a contemptuous mood, a disrespectful mood, then he would not have, after his father died, prayed to Lord Nrisimhadeva to please forgive his father and please deliver him. He, out of his great respect and care and anxiety for his father's well-being, was giving his father very respectfully good instruction. And he was being very honest. What he had learned from his teacher, Narada Muni, when he was in the womb of his mother, and what was very pertinent and what was very much required for Hiranyakashipu to hear this instruction. And he was actually hoping that Hiranyakashipu would listen to him and follow it. Unfortunately, Hiranyakashipu had a few more lessons to learn in this material world. Sometimes the material world is called the school of hard knocks, which means in order to learn our lessons in this material world, if we do not learn by hearing, like if Hiranyakashipu had taken the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, then he wouldn't have had to had his intestines taken out by Lord Nrisimhadeva. He would have had a different attitude towards the Supreme Lord and never challenged the Lord and committed so many offenses against his devotee that it required the Supreme Lord to ascend to rescue his devotee. It would have been a totally different, but it wasn't so. Of course, this is all Leela, and we know that Hiranyakashipu was either Jai or Vijaya. I don't know which one of the two, but one of the two he was. And these pastimes are there for our benefit. Now, there is a reason why these pastimes are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead under His direction. In the age of Kali, of course, everyone knows the sloka. You know, it is everyone's born the sudra. They have short lives. Prayanal payasa sabhyas kalabas menyugajana manda sumanda mattayo manda bhagya hyupadutaha. There's this short time to live. We have all bad qualities, so on and so on. But this material world in the age of Kali gives us the fortunate position of being able to attain to self-realization by very blissful and easy process of chanting the holy names. So this process in the age of Kali is also made very easy because the scriptures for this age, the Bhagavad Purana, is full of stories. Very intricately woven stories with so many things happening in them that by themselves are very, very attractive. But interwoven in these stories are very important and pertinent instructions to the fallen people of this age. It used to be in America, when I was a young man, and we used to go to the movie theaters, they used to have what's called subliminal advertising. Now, it's different these days with digital movies. We used to have, I forget what it was called, but it was just different frames of pictures, and then it would go real fast and it would be the movie. And in one frame, they would place Coca-Cola or a candy bar or something like that. And you would not be able to perceive that you had seen, you know, a glass of Coca-Cola or a candy bar because it was so quick. But your mind would pick up on it. And then all of a sudden, there was long lines in the queues at the movie theater, everyone thinking they needed a Coca-Cola and a candy bar. This was later outlawed. It was against made a law. It was a law against that. They considered it cheating. But so similarly, this Bhagavad Purana is designed in such a way to like attract our minds and listen to the nice stories. And this is one of the stories that is very attractive. This whole Leela, in this seventh canto, it actually begins because Yudhisthira, at the Rajasuya sacrifice, got some instruction from Narada Muni, who happened to come to that Rajasuya sacrifice. And there were some questions and answers, and this whole pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu was as actually being told by Narada Muni to Maharaj Yudhisthira. So this is like the instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They're a little more evident than these what's called subliminal advertising, like we used to experience in the movie theaters, 45 years ago. They're actually quite pertinent, quite evident. They're in your face. But you have to understand these instructions in proper context. And you have to see the whole picture. You cannot just see one sloka here. Because later on, as this story unfolds, we will hear how Hiranyakashipu didn't appreciate what Prahlad Maharaj said. After all, he's saying to surrender to that personality who killed his own brother. So this makes the story even more interesting, right? Imagine if, like in Prabhupada Leela, this Mr. Nair, he tried to cheat the society out of the ISKCON Juhu. And he was going to court and fighting with the devotees to try to, take their money and then get the money, keep the land in his name also. Now, Srila Prabhupada actually prayed. It was quite a struggle. It went on for quite some time. Finally, Mr. Nair died. And Prabhupada said he actually prayed to Lord Nrisimhadev because he was like Hiranyakashipu. As we will find as the story unfolds, I'll tell you a little more later what happens, but I'm sure you already know anyway. He was incorrigible. He would not listen to any logic or reason, any morals even, mundane morals. He was determined in his effort to cheat the devotees. Therefore, he died. And his wife, she learned a lesson from this and copped a different attitude than her husband. And, the court case was over and we got the property in our name illegally and secure, so on and so forth. But imagine if, say, Mr. Nair's brother, after this had happened and he had died, and one of his children had come and joined the Hare Krishna movement. And then, but he'd kind of like done it in a secret manner, gone to school, and after school was over, you know, come to the temple and chant and then and go home without them letting know he's come to the temple. And done this for a period of time, hearing the Bhagavad Gita class in the evening, so on and so forth, and gathering more and more knowledge. And then his father would ask him one day, "So, how's your studies? What have you been learning? And, you know, tell me the best thing you've learned." And he were to say something like this, quite brave, quite bold. In this day and age, the education of the children is considered to be of the utmost importance. And with the mentality that there's no future in this world without an education. You need to get that education, and there's, you know, 1 billion people in India, and there's only, you know, 1 million good jobs. So that means only 1 out of 100 people are going to get a good job. So we require in order to get that good job and to secure the future of my child, I must get him a good education, and I must motivate him and push him to the utmost so that he can rise above the competition. Because there's a big struggle for position in a populated place on the planet, like India. So the father has gone through this huge endeavor in putting him in the best schools, paying the biggest bribes to get him in, and getting him the best situation so that he can succeed in life. And then ask this question, and something like this is told to him. Just imagine the bravery and the fortitude of Prahlad Maharaj. He is absolutely not an ordinary person. And we know this from his very birth. He was saved by Narada Muni. Lord Indra was taking his mother and carrying her to take her to the heavenly planets and just going to wait for her child to take birth and was going to kill the child. But Narada Muni, because he is Trikalagya, he understood that this is, even though the seed of Hiranyakashipu is there, do not think that he is a demon. It's not hard, and there's no hard and fast rules for this business of having children. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he had Prahlad Maharaj. Householders, they may have Hiranyakashipu. I mean, this happens. And it's just like, oh my God, I chanted 50 rounds, I prayed to the deities, and look what I got here, my God. So there's a great, it's actually a gamble. You never know what you're going to get, what type of person you're going to attract in this world. But Prahlad Maharaj, he was so fixed up and so realized in his conviction that he told the truth to his father. He wasn't lying. He heard from his spiritual masters. He knows this is his real teacher. And he gave a very pertinent instruction, hoping his father would understand. And then some time went on, and his father kind of like, okay, there's some Vaishnavas sneaking in to the palace here. He didn't even know exactly. He was going to try to figure it out. But he told the teachers, you know, you watch over these kids. At first he accused them. But then they said, convinced, no, we are not Vaishnavas. We're not like that. We're teaching him, you know, politics, friends and enemies, and how to keep your power and gain power and rule over others and you know, maintain respectability and so on and so forth. So he was convinced. So then, with some like precautions, just like in the airports, Now they have a lot of precautions. There's a lot of fear in the air, terrorism. And they have all these, you know, they search your luggage and you go through metal detectors, and they have spies in the airport looking at people that are acting strangely. I was in the airport once and I had some rounds to chant, and I was just sitting down and chanting some japa, and all of a sudden some security guard comes, "What are you doing? You know, what's that in the bag? And, you know, why are you muttering to yourself?" And anyway, so I'm acting suspiciously. So similarly, where the school was under strict surveillance, and they couldn't find anything. So after some period of time, and Hiranyakashipu, totally bewildered, not knowing what had happened, how he spoke like this, again spoke to Prahlad, "What is the best thing, you know, you've learned?" And Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't go, "Matirna Krishna Paratakshatova, Mito Bibhajeta Grivatanam, Adanta Govir Vichitam Tamishram, Puna Punas Tarvada Charvana Nam." He didn't talk like that. "Matirna Krishna Paratakshatova, Mito Bibhajeta Grivatanam." The one who has this Griya Vrata, who is determined to enjoy this household life, he cannot take instructions from others. He cannot take instructions from a group. And he cannot take instructions from the Lord within his heart. He's totally blind to that. He is forced to chew what has already been chewed. Puna punas tarvata tarvananam. So this was the ultimate for Hiranyakashipu. And it is from there that he decided to try to kill his son. And then the story gets real interesting. He couldn't kill his son. I mean, he's the king of the universe. He has all the heavenly planets and the hellish worlds and the middle planets all under his complete control. All he had to do was raise his eyebrow and the demigods would shudder. And here's his son, 5 years old, completely fearless, and trying to help him and understand that, you know, "Hey Dad, we have to die here. We're not here eternally. These bodies are temporary. And, you know, why spend so much energy and time trying to enjoy these bodies? It's a futile endeavor. And Krishna, he's so loving and he's so kind that if you take shelter of him, you can enjoy eternally. You don't have to suffer anymore." And Hiranyakashipu, "Yeah, kill him." Instructed his servants to kill him, tried killing him in so many ways. And when all this failed, he tried to kill himself. And this is when Lord Nrisimhadev very mercifully appeared and destroyed his body. And then Prahlad Maharaj, after all, so many demigods and so many exalted personalities came to try to pacify Lord Nrisimhadev and failed. Prahlad Maharaj went before Lord Nrisimhadev and prayed and pacified him and touched his heart. Touched the Supreme Personality of Godhead heart. I mean, Lord Nrisimhadev offered any benediction to Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj, he just didn't care anything about himself. He was just concerned about the suffering of humanity in the material world, the living entities here, and for their deliverance and for his father's deliverance, who had just tried to kill him and it had given him such a hard time. I mean, we think we have a hard time. You know, you parents, you know, they spend crores of rupees or lakhs of rupees putting you through school, and then you decide to be a brahmachari, which is quite prominent here. And I imagine they become quite upset. But you can take instruction from this pastime, and if they have some piety in their lives, which a good chance they do, they will respect you. Actually, it is stated that example is higher than precept. Generally, it's understood that in relation to relatives and to senior personalities, they're older, the best preaching, or the best way to change them, is to be a very, very, very good example of a very thoughtful and cordial and polite human being. And relate to them very sincerely and very nicely, and, you know, slip in some Krishna consciousness here and there and encourage them. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, I'm sure most of the parents of the devotees here in Chopati, their parents go to temples, they pray to the deities, they have some respect for the Shastra. So you have an advantageous situation. And now that ISKCON has been around for some period of time, we have some elderly members here, people with gray hair and hair that's going away, and starting having physical ailments. So therefore they have some realization that the body's going to dwindle, it's going to get old, it's going to cause suffering. And so therefore there's some guidance here how to treat older people, because they're old themselves and they know what they appreciate. So you're in a much more advantageous situation than Prahlad Maharaj was. He had an impossible situation. Of course, there's no such thing as impossible, because anything can happen by the mercy of Krishna. But it was an impossible situation, because Krishna was directly behind this pastime, and he designed this leela in such a way that Prahlad would not be able to affect his father's consciousness in a favorable way. Actually, it affected him in an unfavorable way, which was ultimately favorable, because it attracted the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come down to protect Prahlad Maharaj and to kill Hiranyakashipu. So this pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, it is quite long. It is the majority of the seventh canto. I wouldn't be surprised if it is the longest pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm not sure. It is one of them, which means it is one of the most important and can give us some very pertinent instructions, and we can derive great benefit, and it's full of action, it's full of drama, it's full of intrigue, so therefore it can grab our attention, and we can learn so much from this pastime, and practically apply it in your life. So, one concluding remark is that this shloka is not intended for the brahmacharis to spit at the grihastas. Because actually, grihastha is also an ashram, as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. If we read the purport and don't just read the sloka. The purports are there also. That in the Varnashram system, which is the stepping stone to spiritual life, it brings ones to the human platform. Ordinarily, one goes from brahmachari and then goes to grihastha, and then goes to vanaprast, and then goes to sannyas. Now, from higher rung. So brahmachari, then up to grihastha, up to vanaprast, and up to sannyas. Of course, if you can go from brahmachari and then vanaprast and then sannyas, that's much better. You're skipping a few rungs on the ladder, so to speak. And it's a much less difficult endeavor. There's you're not running the risk of having a son like Hiranyakashipu. And you'll undergo a lot. It's called the School of Hard Knocks. You learn a lot of lessons in Grihastha life. It's actually a huge endeavor and a lot of work. Raising children, which means making money, and emotionally, right, providing emotional support and so on. You have to wear like 10 different hats if you're a grihastha. You got to be a father, you got to be a husband, you got to go to work, you got to be a devotee. You got to go see the relatives. Any other hats? Can anyone think of any other hats they have to wear? Anyway, you got to wear a lot of hats. Whereas if you're brahmachari, you got to wear a brahmachari hat. Surrender to the guru, menial service, chant the holy names, get up early, so on and so forth, for the rest of one's life. It's a matter of controlling the mind and learning by hearing from poor souls like myself who are undergoing the school of hard knocks. But it is a school nonetheless. And it may take a longer period of time and a more struggle, but you learn the lesson, and it is an ashram, and one can learn the same lesson, and it takes more time and there's more struggle, but you do learn the lessons nonetheless if it's done properly. Of course, sadhana bhakti requires, and then there's also sadhana bhakti in grihastha life, getting up early, chanting your japa, your gayatris, serving the spiritual master, serving the brahmacharis. So many things are there in grihastha life that makes it a very sanctified situation, favorable for spiritual advancement. Not to convince you brahmacharis to become grihasthas, because it is more advantageous, of course, to, as has been taught by Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, specifically the last two teachers in our line, is encouraged greatly. Prabhupada encouraged it. But how many brahmacharis out of 5,000 disciples Srila Prabhupada are left? Maybe 10. So, because all of you have a complete situation with full support of and experience from all four social orders, you are in such an advantageous situation, and there's an attitude of mutual respect between the brahmacharis and grihasthas and sannyasis and vanaprastas, so on and so forth, an encouraging atmosphere. There's a lot of hope here, and there's a lot of encouragement, and there's a high success rate. Because ISKCON has been around for some period of time, there's what is called trial and error. So many things have been tried, and there's been a lot of errors, and one can learn by one's mistakes. So mistakes have been made, and devotees have learned by those mistakes, And the devotees here are benefiting by those lessons learned by mistakes. So all these devotees that were in this trial and error part of life in ISKCON, they're benefiting because of all of you, because they helped you. Even the devotees that are not doing so well right now, because of them, we have learned how to manage, how to act towards our parents, how to act towards the general public. We used to steal flowers from the neighbors to offer to the deities. This was very common. Anyway, it's getting late. That's not done anymore. Why? Duh. The neighbors get angry at you and hate your guts, and then it goes in the newspaper and everyone else hates you too. So we think long term. It's called Shreyas and Prayas. There's a long term vision and there's a short term vision. And a lot of it had to do with this kind of like naive attitude of coming out of the hippie culture, where just take what you can get and don't worry about the future. But that doesn't jive with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We think about the future and we act in such a way so the future will be good in all aspects, in relationship to our parents, in the relationship to our neighbors, in relationship to our spiritual master, and in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In all aspects of life, we think long term. We have learned this lesson, and this is the fruit of it. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions, comments? It's kind of late. Jai. Hare Krishna.